Welcome back. This is Category 5 Technology TV. Back in 2016, we looked at NEMS 1.1, and now 2 years later, and several thousand downloads later, it's time to look at NEMS 1.4.1. What the heck is NEMS Linux? That's the question running through your mind if you've never heard of it before. Well, NEMS stands for Nagios Enterprise Monitoring Server. So if you've heard of Nagios, that's fantastic. Now you're on to it. If you haven't heard of Nagios, let me give you a really quick rundown. It's a tool used by IT administrators of any size network in order to monitor network assets. What does that mean? Well, to simplify it, let's imagine your hard drive in your server is running low on disk space. How would you know that unless you were standing in front of the server or actually actively monitoring that? Maybe one of the hard drives in your RAID array has failed and you need to replace it. Well, how would you know that unless you look at the server and see the amber light? There are a variety of different ways that Nagios can help enterprise and home users to know if there is an issue on the network. And it's very proactive because we can see things, say if your hard drive hits 80% threshold, then we get a notification so that we know that it's time to look at maybe deleting some files or perhaps adding more storage to the server. And that's exactly what I set out to use Nagios for here at the studio, because we're always throwing HD video at our server. So if we ever run out of space, that can be a big problem. It really helps me to know that I'm running low on space. It's almost time to add more storage to the server. That's very helpful. Nagios is used by big business like, say, NASA, for example, if I can pronounce it right. NASA is obviously, you know, everything that they do is mission critical. It's very important for them to know if a system is failing or failed or has some problems. They need to know about that upfront in advance. So that's where Nagios comes in. And Nagios is also in use in home networks and, you know, just users that are power users that want to know if there is a problem on their home network. So it doesn't matter. It's completely scalable. And what is really, really beautiful about it is it's also absolutely free. And it doesn't matter if you're dealing with a 2-device network or a 10,000 device network, it's still no cost. So now we look at the hardware that that you're going to use to run your Nagios server. A lot of us would figure that we need to have a server, like an actual physical server, maybe something in the rack, or maybe repurpose an old computer. But the problem is that with that, you're going to be using a lot of electricity for that one computer doing that very important mission-critical task of monitoring everything else. Why are we using so much power for something that can be run on lesser equipment? Because these days we've got things like the Raspberry Pi that's really quite powerful. The Raspberry Pi 3 has a lot of oomph behind it, but deploying Nagios on something like that can be risky because of things like, well, what if your SD card fails or something like that? So NEMS Linux comes in and takes Nagios core at its heart and has created a distribution for your Raspberry Pi and other SBCs that allows you to deploy easily on low cost, and not just low cost up front, but low cost ongoing operational cost equipment such as the Raspberry Pi 3. Full disclosure, I am the developer of NEMS Linux, so maybe that gives it a little bit of, maybe that gives you a little confidence in it if you've been a longtime viewer of Category 5 Technology TV, but certainly it's important for you to note that, you know, I know a lot about it because I built it, so that's where I'm at. So let's take a look at how we actually get NEMS Linux. I'm going to hop on over to our website, nemslinux.com. It's as simple as that. And you can read all about what NEMS Linux is, kind of the mantra, if you will, of what our vision is, what my vision is with NEMS Linux. And essentially, it boils down to getting NEMS Linux and hop on over. We're going to deploy this on a Raspberry Pi 3. Now, I mentioned that, hey, if I'm going to put it on a Raspberry Pi 3, I need to know that this is going to be reliable, right? This is my mission-critical stuff. I need to know that it's monitoring and it's working. And that's where NEMS Linux does things very differently from any other Nagios deployment in that it has an automatic backup system. And not only that, but it has an automatic restore system. So if my SD card ever failed, I can easily and very, very quickly recover, and I don't lose my configuration or have to go through an onerous deployment process. So that's where this is really, really different. So on this page, to download it, I can get the direct download or a BitTorrent. Now, I've taken the liberty of pre-downloading it just so that we could expedite things for the sake of this demonstration today. So I'm going to bring up a program called Etcher, which you can get at etcher.io. We use that to burn, and I say burn, it's an old term that we used when we used to burn CDs, right? So you take an ISO image and you burn it to a CD. Well, these days we're using a micro SD card, and Etcher is the program that we use in order to burn, if you will, the image that you're going to download from nemslinux.com to your SD card through an SD card reader. So I've got mine here, but you notice it's not plugged in. So what I'm going to do is I'm first going to select that image that I've already pre-downloaded for us, and I've put that in my downloads folder, simply as where it's default downloaded to. There it is. So I'm using the NEMS Linux 1.4.1 for Pi. Now, and when you click select destination, select drive, you notice that it is empty. And that to me is very, very important. I want there to be no drive listed in there, because when I plug in my drive, I want it to be the only external drive. The reason that I do that, this is my own mindset, is so that I don't accidentally overwrite the wrong drive, because you could easily do that using Etcher. So now I'm going to plug in my device, and you see Windows 10 pops up with all these dialogues, and I just need to cancel those. And now I'll see my drive in the list, and I see it's the only one, so I can continue and now press flash. Through the magic of television, I am able to do this in fast motion. So we can be very thankful for that. So it takes about 13 minutes for me to burn this onto my own SD card. And then it goes through a verification process, which simply checks the checksum of the burnt image to make sure that it in fact matches the one that I downloaded. Now it's popped up again because Windows has mounted the drive. Just close these windows. And I can see the flash is complete. Now, if there was any error message there, you might want to look at maybe a different card reader, maybe a different micro SD card. But basically, that's telling me that everything has worked just fine. So now I'm safe to disconnect this. Now I've got my micro SD card, which I'm going to insert into my Raspberry Pi 3. And this is now going to become my NEMS Linux server. With this Raspberry Pi 3, you notice there are three cables plugged in. I've got the power cable, which obviously is essential. I've got the Ethernet cable, which is also a requirement of NEMS Linux. Now consider this is a monitoring server, and it needs to be able to communicate with network assets. So if you do not have an Ethernet cable connected, you're doing it wrong. It's a necessity. You absolutely have to have that. I recommend against using Wi-Fi, although NEMS Linux does in fact support the Raspberry Pi Zero, though a lot of our users are plugging in an external Ethernet USB connector in order to connect directly to Ethernet. But you can use the Wi-Fi on the Raspberry Pi Zero. Simply hit Control-Alt-F2 on first boot. Speaking of first boot, which I'll show you, I have an HDMI cable plugged in. That is only for your benefit tonight, so that you can see what comes up on the Raspberry Pi screen. Typically, a NEMS server does not require being plugged into a screen whatsoever, and in fact, it's kind of pointless. So I'm just going to switch over to the capture device here, and I'm going to power on my Raspberry Pi, and we should see, there we are, it's going to come up for us. And this is all happening in real time, folks. Everything is live, and so everything that's going to happen here is exactly the process that you're going to go through in order to make this work on your own system. So let me zoom out there. Sorry about that. Clicked on the wrong one. So it's booting up NEMS Linux for the very first time. And once it's up, we're going to get this splash screen. There we are. So you see NEMS Linux is up and running on 10.0.0.101. It also has a host name of NEMS.local, and it's detected my device as a Raspberry 3 Model B. And current CPU usage is rather high, and the reason for that is because when it first boots up, NEMS Linux is going through a check process. It's checking for any updates to the operating system, to the actual NEMS Linux system itself, and it's getting updates and things like that. So just kind of hang tight for a couple of moments while it does its thing. But first boot, it's going to use a fair bit of resources, and so it's important to let that kind of go, and then you can go back over. You'll notice also my disk usage is at 81%. Well, that would be a problem, but we're going to resolve that once we do what's called a NEMS init, or an initialization process. And we should see that that CPU usage is going to start dropping down. Again, you don't have to wait for that, but just know that it is, it's going to take a few moments before NEMS is ready to go when you first boot it up, and when you first turn it on. When I mentioned about the Raspberry Pi Zero, you see the instruction there? To log in, use SSH or press Ctrl-Alt-F2. So on a Raspberry Pi Zero, you press Ctrl-Alt-F2 with a connected USB keyboard, and then you type raspi-config, and you set up your Wi-Fi, then do a reboot, and then everything will be up and going and ready to go. So it looks like everything's ready for us now, and I'm going to bring up my computer screen again. Here we go. And we're going to head on over to 10.0.0.101. And when I get there, it says your NEMS server is not yet initialized. SSH to your NEMS server and run sudo NEMS init. So let's do it. Now, I have PuTTY installed on this computer because I am on Windows 10. And I'm going to go 10.0.0.101. Now, again, remember, I haven't had to configure anything. So I just burnt this, and I've booted, and I'm just following the instructions on the screen. So how nice is that? I'm just going to kind of zoom in on that PuTTY window so that you've got a better view. There we go. That should do for us. Now I'm going to log in with the username nemsadmin. Password is also nemsadmin. Now that's our default, and that is only for now. It's going to change, and I'm going to be the one to change it. So looking at this initial message of the day, like loader screen, you can see again very similar information to what we saw on the splash screen, and we can see uptime, current load is actually going down, and we can again see that we are using 81% of our disk space. So now I'm going to follow those directions and type sudo nems-init. Type in my password, which again is nemsadmin. And it says, welcome to NEMS initialization script. Goes through a little bit of updating just to make sure things are up to date before it goes through. And that just makes sure that if there are any patches or updates for your system before you initialize it, that those get applied. So let's just let that finish. Takes a moment. Generally speaking, I'll just say, this is going to be really the only main time that you're going to need to access the terminal in NEMS Linux, because NEMS Linux has been designed specifically to be very GUI-based in your web browser, and you're going to see that, and it's certainly something that makes NEMS stand out based, you know, in comparison to traditional Nagios deployments, for example. So there we go. It looks like it's just wrapping up. Okay, there we go. Now we are ready to initialize. What would you like your NEMS username to be? I'm going to use Robbie F. All right, username accepted. And now I'm going to enter what I'd like my password to be. It's asking it for it again. And that is to make sure that I typed it correctly. And you'll see now it goes into, it's adding the Linux user, it's deprecating the old NEMS admin user, migrating data, initializing a new Nagios user, and going through the whole process that normally I'd have to do manually. It's creating contacts and contact groups, and now it's asking me for my time zone. Make sure you select yours appropriately. You see that Nagios failed to initialize. That's because I have yet to actually configure my server. So that's not going to initialize until I've done that. Then it generates SSL certificates. You see that? So it's important to note that NEMS uses a different SSL certificate for every NEMS Linux server out there. So if you're afraid of man-in-the-middle attack, don't worry. That's all part of the initialization process, that every NEMS server gets its own SSL certificate generated during initialization. Then it says, now we will resize your root partition to give you access to all the space. Done. You must reboot now. When you reboot, your login You must log in as Robbie F. Keep that in mind because now the NEMS admin user is gone. I'm going to hit space. Server has unexpectedly closed the network connection. Well, I know it was actually expected. So I'm going to close out of that, zoom out for you. And actually, let's jump back to our Raspberry Pi because it's rebooting. So that's just the screen that you would see over HDMI. And once we see that blue screen again, and you don't have to, you don't have to watch this on a TV or anything. You just know that it takes a couple of moments to reboot, and all of a sudden you're going to get a ping and you're going to get a response when you try to go to the IP address in your browser. That's when it's up and running. So no harm, no foul. And almost there. So this Raspberry Pi is going to be able to monitor all of our network assets in such a way that we can be notified if there's a problem. Goes through the regular checks and kernel drivers and everything else that Linux does. I should note, too, while we're waiting, that that NEMS Linux 1.4.1 is based on Debian Stretch. Everything is as current as can possibly be. NEMS 1.4.1 was finalized just a couple of months ago and is looking really, really good. There we go. So we are up and running. So now I can jump over back to my computer and let's just refresh the page that was telling us that we need to initialize. And I should see something completely different because I have initialized my NEMS Linux server. And there we go. NEMS Linux version 1.4.1 is up and running. So let's do a quick rundown of the menu system configuration. We've got the NEMS SST or System Settings tool. This is a great component of NEMS because you remember, if you've ever used Nagios before, setting up things like the resource.cfg file, if you don't set things up correctly, then Nagios won't start and you have all kinds of trouble and it's onerous to work with config files in the Linux terminal. This gets you out of the Linux terminal and into a UI and allows you to set up things like your SMTP server settings and a bunch of other things. We are going to look at that today. Then we've got the NEMS configurator, or nconf, and that one is very important because this is how we configure all of our Nagios configurations, such as hosts, services, check commands. All of that stuff is done there, again, through a web UI. Then reporting. We've got Nagios Core, which is there really just for the old school Nagios users because some of you may prefer to use the older interface. Nagios Core, the web interface, works really well, and we've included it for you, but I would suggest that if you are new to Nagios that you instead look at Adagios. And even if you're an old school Nagios user, check out Adagios. I think you're going to be really impressed. So Adagios being an alternative to Nagios Core. Quick rundown from a programmatic standpoint, me as a programmer, the difference between them. Nagios Core is an old interface based on tables. It is not mobile responsive. Adagios is a mobile responsive bootstrap theme that is a complete rewrite of the interface using live status from CheckMK. So if that means nothing to you, basically it is a much more modern interface to achieve the same thing. NagViz is a visualization platform to allow you to create visual maps of your Nagios configuration. Pretty handy and can be really cool to set that up. NEMS Mobile UI is something that typically you wouldn't bring up on a computer, but you would bring up instead on your phone and tablet, and it allows you to use a mobile responsive web interface in order to access your status of your Nagios alerts and things like that. See how things are going. The NEMS TV dashboard I actually have up and running right here. So this is the NEMS TV dashboard. It's designed specifically so that you can have a TV set somewhere in, say, like your server room or something like that, that at a glance, just by looking up at it, you can see, oh, everything's hunky-dory, or, whoa, we've got something going on because there's some red status indicators on the NEMS TV dashboard. So that's something that you can actually just, you just plug a TV into any computer, and then you access the NEMS Linux server through the web browser and then just make it full screen. That's exactly what's happening here. I've just got Chrome pointed at nems.local/TV and made it full screen with F11. So that's available to you, and that does not require login, although you can set it so that it does require login if you want that extra privacy on your LAN. Under System, we've got Monitorix, which is a great tool for just simply monitoring the Raspberry Pi itself. I'm using Raspberry Pi as the example. Whatever your hardware is, Monitorix will show you things like the CPU load and all that kind of stuff, memory usage and utilization, swap file usage of the actual server. So that is this device. It has nothing to do with Nagios. It has to do only with this particular device. And that's pretty handy and looks great. Cockpit is something that is very handy for sysadmins, but you may or may not need it, but it comes pre-installed. Now, anything in NEMS Linux now, I'm going to log in using the initialized username and password that I used. Nice thing about Cockpit is that I can see real-time CPU usage versus Monitorix, which uses like a snapshot on a cron job. It takes it makes images that are based on like a cron. This is real-time visualization of resources. So now if I head on over, a nice feature of this is clicking on terminal. Now I can actually access a terminal session without having to use PuTTY or do anything like that. This is actually connecting me to the NEMS Linux server. That's kind of cool. It also does allow, incidentally, I should mention, without getting into too much detail, it allows you to administer multiple NEMS Linux servers through Cockpit, at least with the features that Cockpit offers. Then we've got RPi Monitor is a feature only available on Raspberry Pi-based boards. When you install it, it will detect and it will install this for you. This is just a dashboard that shows you some of the resource usage on your Raspberry Pi. Kind of cool. WebMin is a great interface for system administrators to administer the system itself. Again, this has to do with the Raspberry Pi, not Nagios. So this will allow you to do things like configure your networking or do dist upgrades and things like that if you want to go there. But do keep a NEMS backup because what if you break something, right? But this gives you an overview and gives you access to various system things that otherwise would be, you know, under the hood would be terminal based. Next up and finally in the system menu is Monit. This is a fantastic program that simply monitors the things that are running on our NEMS server. So you'll see NEMS is up and running, MariaDB is up and running, Apache 2 is up and running, Nagios is not, execution failed, I'll talk about that in a second, Samba's running, Monitorix is running, and 9590, which is a dummy port listener, is up and running, and I'll talk to you about that as well. Why is Nagios not running? That is because we have yet to create our configuration, and therefore, Nagios is not ready to be operational just yet. I'll show you how to do that. What happens if Apache 2 crashes? If Apache 2 were to crash, because it is a part of our NEMS Monit configuration, it will automatically restart. That's what's so beautiful about Monit. It will automatically restart failed services. So in the background, it's watching for running services. These are the ones that I've sent pre-configured. And if they fail, if they go down for any reason, like if you stop the Apache 2 service, you'll be like, well, why did it start again? It's because Monit is actually monitoring and making sure that Apache 2 is always running. That's very handy. Migrator, I talked briefly about it, but NEMS Migrator allows you to create a backup of your NEMS server. How hard is it? Well, let's click on download and see. Done. I've got it. There's my backup. NEMS Migrator also creates a Samba share for us. If I go /nems.local, I see backup. And if I type in my NEMS username and password, you'll see that same file, backup.nems, which is updated automatically every 5 minutes. If I go back one, you'll see that there's also a home share, and this I can actually drop my my existing backup.nems file into to make restoring a lot easier. You'll see also that there is an optional offsite backup service. This is fantastic. Users are loving this. It'll automatically back up your NEMS server to a cloud server in an encrypted format that keeps everything secure every single day. And then to restore, you simply just type in a quick command, and it's easy peasy, nice and quick. Then you can buy a Pi, support us, various ways you can support NEMS Linux, and how you can get help through the documentation, priority support, community forum, and the official NEMS website. Let's get right into it. I'm going to show you how to configure NEMS Linux. Now, if you've ever used Nagios before, you're used to using the config files. Now, keep in mind, on NEMS Linux, you never have to touch a config file again. It's all done through your browser. So let's do it. First off, I'm going to go into NEMS System Settings Tool, and here we see a personal encryption decryption password. Well, that's cool. Let's add one. That will now make it so that my backups are encrypted automatically. NEMS Migrator's offsite backup license key, if registered, you can enter that here. And then scroll down. Windows domain access, you can follow through the documentation to find out how all this works. Pushover account info, I am going to set up my pushover account. I've already created an API key just for the demonstration. And with this, I'm going to get pushover notifications on my phone. But I also want email, so I'm going to configure my email server as well. So we just punch all that information in. And then save all settings. How easy is that? The only other thing here is our optional services. We can turn off optional services if we want to reduce the resource usage. Not that anything here is heavy, but it allows you to turn things off if you're not using them. It also allows you to disable the automatic login to the NEMS TV dashboard. So if you want to force a password requirement, you can turn that off, and it will then force the user to have a password. Okay, so now that I have my pushover account info in there, you can learn more about that in the documentation at docs.nemslinux.com. Plus, I have my SMTP email configuration in here. Again, in our documentation, there is some great information on how to set that up, including using Gmail as your SMTP server. So now that I'm ready, I can go NEMS Configurator. And in the NEMS Configurator, first of all, I can click on Hosts, Show, and I see that NEMS is already being monitored at address 127.0.0.1, the local host. If I go into things like services, I can see that the NEMS root partition, the hard drive, is being monitored as well. I mentioned about hard drive usage. If I jump back to our splash screen here, notice our hard drive usage is now 11%. Reason for that is because NEMS Linux, during the initialization procedure, resized the partition in order to utilize the entire capacity of our SD card. So now let's actually add a host. So I'm going to call this my hypervisor. There we go. And I know that this is 10.0.0.10. That's the IP address on my local LAN. And it could be a WAN address or something like that, as long as I've got access to it. And I'm going to monitor that with default Nagios, which is our only available option. We're going to check 24/7 and notify 24/7. Leave the rest as is. Then we're going to notify the contact group admins. Stick around. I'm going to teach you a little bit about that in a moment. And if we want, we can make that a part of the parent host, but in this case, we're not going to do that. And I'm going to leave these blank because I want to show you what happens if there's an error message. So I'm going to submit that, and that's going to now create that host. So now if I go into Hosts, Show, we now see Hypervisor and NEMS. I mentioned about the admin group. So if I go into contact groups, you see that there are admins, and admins is all set up and raring to go, and Robbie F. is one of the admins, and you can add more if you want, but here is Robbie F. under contacts. First things first, before you deploy, we need to set up our contact for receiving these notifications, so edit that contact, set my email address, because presumably I'm going to want email notifications, but I also, remember, I set up notifications by pushover. So I need to see, okay, first of all, host notifications. So if I click here, I see notify service by pushover. So that's not the one I want. I want notify host by pushover. Host, okay? Now click the right arrow. Now my user is going to receive notifications by email and pushover. This is just for the sake of the demonstration. You're going to probably pick one or the other. Now, service notification commands, I want to use notify service by pushover. And there we go. So now my user, Robbie F., is going to receive emails at this address and notifications by pushover and email. Submit. No changes have happened yet to my Nagios configuration because I haven't generated that configuration yet. So I'm going to now take the settings that I've changed and hit Generate Nagios Config. And remember, I purposefully made some errors so that I could show you what happens. So error, deployment not possible due to errors in configuration. And of course, when we see error, we think, oh, this stupid thing, it doesn't work. Let's find out why there's an error. NEMS is very smart about helping you to get this thing up and going. Also notice Nagios Core 4.3.4, just in case you're wondering, this is not 3.5, the base that is available in apt. It's compiled 4.3.4. So here's the error message made red so that it's easy to find. Invalid max check attempts value for host hypervisor. Now you remember we just added the host hypervisor, so we obviously did not enter the max check attempts, which is a requirement. So let's edit that host by going show and then edit and then scroll down a ways and we see, okay, max check attempts. How many times do we want to check it? Number of times to retry checking. See over on the right hand side? Let's say 10. Check interval. For the sake of the demonstration, we're going to make these really, really small. Retry interval, 1 minute. First notification delay, 1 minute. Notification interval, 1 minute. And notification options are what? What the heck does that mean? Possible values, DERFs. So head on over to the documentation, docs.nemslinux.com. And if you scroll down a little ways on the first page, you're going to see Nagios notification definitions. What's DERFs? Notify by when host is down, notify if host is unreachable upon recovery, and if the host is flapping, like up, down, up, down, up, down. And the S stands for notify if a scheduled service downtime begins or ends. So I'm going to want all of those. So notification options, I've already got it listed there, but D, comma, U, comma, R, comma, F, comma, S is going to give it all to me. And now scroll down and hit submit. It's important to note, if you're not getting your notifications, I'm going to go back into edit. Remember, you have to set the contact group so that admins is the selected items. And you do that by highlighting it and clicking the arrow that points to the right to move it into the right column, okay? Submit. You're going to take some time and learn how the system works. Get into the documentation, get into the community forum, and then you'll be able to find out, get some help. Generating Nagios config now works perfectly. It says it's ready to deploy, so deploy. And now we're going to get into the front-end interface. So that's the back-end to configure things. And you'll notice that we currently have an error message, per se, up on the TV, but now it's gone. See that? Now that the hosts are available. The error message was basically because I hadn't yet configured Nagios. Now that I've configured Nagios and set up some hosts, I see that two hosts are up. It looks like I've got 8 services that are being monitored and so on and so forth. So that's up on my TV now. So back here, I'm going to go into reporting. I'll show you Nagios Core just quickly because I did a lot of work to make it look nicer. There it is. It looks a lot better than, say, your normal Nagios Core deployment. You'll see that hypervisor is still pending check. Okay, so it hasn't checked it yet because it's set to check every 1 minute. Then I'm going to check out Adagios instead. Adagios is a much sleeker interface, and it is the go-to for you on your NEMS Linux system, unless you want to be old school. So we have no problems. There's nothing going on. There's nothing that I need to really be concerned with here. And the overview will show me that, and it shows green. So while we're kind of looking at that, let's go back to Nagios Core. Did it check it yet? Let's go to the host details. Yes, hypervisor is up. See, it's green. So let's check out some of the other features here. First of all, the web, the mobile UI. I think the best way to show you a mobile UI is to actually bring it up on my phone. So let's go there. I had it up a little bit earlier, doing some tests. Okay, proceed, because all of your security certificates, your SSL certificates, are self-signed because we do not have a .com or anything associated with it. So you see that there's no problem. I can click on my hosts, and I can see there's my hypervisor. Everything looks good. So this is the mobile interface that you're seeing here in real time. That's pretty great. TV dashboard, you see it already, but I'm going to bring it up here as well on the computer screen so you can see it a little bit closer. That's what it looks like, and you can bring that up in any browser just by going to your IP address or nems.local/TV. So let's make something fail. Let's go over to NEMS configurator, and let's open our host hypervisor. And all I'm going to do, I'm just going to emulate that this is down by simply changing the IP address to something that I know it is not. So I know that 10.0.0.253 is not anything on my network. It's way high in my pool. So that's going to cause Nagios to think that the server's down because it's not going to reply at this point. So let's bring up Adagios and see what happens. Let's kind of keep an eye on things, and it should check pretty quickly. And if all goes well, I should also start to see things on my mobile interface. I'm going to go back to the home screen here so that I can show you that. And with Adagios up on my screen, we'll very quickly see what's actually going on. And if I want to, I can bring up Nagios Core. They're basically interchangeable. They do the same thing. What does Adagios and Nagios Core allow you to do? Not only is it a status panel for me, but it's also a way for me to acknowledge outages. So if I know, okay, I've received the notification, I'm working on it, I want to stop receiving the notifications, I can acknowledge that outage and I can start working on it. And then it will stop notifying and it will show as everything good on the TV dashboard. It also allows you to schedule downtime. So both of these products do. Nagios Core and Adagios are both included on your NEMS deployment. It allows you to schedule that downtime. So if I know I'm going to be replacing hard drives in a server, it's going to go down for any given reason, I can pre-schedule that downtime so that my administrators don't start receiving notifications when things go down. So we've got to take a really quick break. I'm not going to touch a thing, but I do have to take a quick commercial break to say thanks to our sponsors. When we come back, we're going to see how those notifications have been happening. I'm not going to touch anything. I'm just going to wait and see what comes up on our screens. Stick around.
Whether you shop on ThinkGeek, GearBest, B&H Photo Video, eBay, or Amazon, or even if you want a free trial of Audible, you'll find the best deals and support the shows we produce by simply visiting the shopping sites you already frequent by using the links on our website. Visit category5.tv/partners for the full and ever-growing list and help us create more free content like this show. Thank you for shopping with our partners, and thank you for watching.
Welcome back. This is Category 5 Technology TV. This week we're looking at NEMS Linux, Nagios Enterprise Monitoring Server, which we've deployed on a Raspberry Pi 3. This becomes an entire enterprise monitoring system that communicates with all of our peripherals, all of our endpoint devices, and tells us if there is presumably a problem so that we can be proactive towards support. Now, before the break, I said I'm not going to touch anything, and I didn't, except one thing, because I did miss one step. You remember in Nagios nconf, in NEMS nconf, pardon me. Let's head on in there. And after I set the IP address to the incorrect IP, I then wondered why I wasn't getting my notification. So I forgot to press generate Nagios config. Now, when you create a new configuration setting in NEMS nconf, you have to actually generate and deploy that configuration. Otherwise, you're going to wonder why your new configuration isn't taking place. Make sure you add that to your to-do list. Right at the end, I'm going to deploy. And now that I've deployed, first thing I notice, of course, is that my TV display, the NEMS TV dashboard, shows that the hypervisor is an unhandled host problem. And I can also see that there is a host down. Let's bring that up a little bit closer for you. I'm going to bring it up on my screen so that you can see what the TV display looks like. There it is. So you can see that's what it looks like when the host is down. So I've got 50% of my host down, and it's alerting me through the red color that, hey, there is definitely something going on that's a problem. So make sure you push out that NEMS configuration to your Nagios server before you move on and do a presentation live on TV, for example. So now, if I look at Adagios, I can see that there is something going on. 50% of my hosts are orange. What? Let's click on open problems, and I can see that my hypervisor does have a problem, and it says that it is simply down. Critical. Host not reachable. It's unreachable. Oh, well, that's because it's the wrong IP address. We know that. But it could be, let's say, that the server is actually powered off or something like that, or maybe it's crashed. It could be any one of those things. Let's look at Nagios Core, just for those purists who want to know how things look there. There it is. Hypervisor's down. And there it is. And we could actually acknowledge this host problem if we want through Nagios Core. But we like the interface over at Adagios because it is a mobile responsive, much more current, much more modern. So I'm going to hit acknowledge. That's that button up at the top left here. If you hover over it, will tell you what they are. Acknowledge. Schedule downtime, and so on. So I'm going to acknowledge, and I'm going to hit I'll fix this. And then acknowledge the problem. So now, in my Adagios, it says this has been acknowledged, and presumably I'm going to start to see some changes around here. I'm going to bring up my notifications and everything. Look at this. So here's the NEMS mobile UI. I can see that it was down, hypervisor, before that acknowledgement comes in. There it is. I can see that it was down in the mobile UI, and this is going to automatically update itself as well. But let's head on over to pushover. Whoa! I've got some notifications there, folks. And if I click on one, it says, hey, your hypervisor is down, critical, host unreachable, and it's got the IP address. Let's go over to my email and see what we've got there. Oh, more emails, too. You don't have to have email and pushover configured. I'm doing this for the sake of the demonstration, but you can see that the email is pretty much the same thing. Oh, and that's an acknowledgement. You see, it actually sent me an email about the acknowledgement. Host unreachable. There's the actual hypervisor is down alert. That's what I got by email. Going back over to pushover, I'm going to receive a new pushover notification about the... Oh, I already did. The acknowledgement is there. There it is. So let's now head back over to nconf, and let's bring everything back online. Let's say we are powering it back on, presumably. Or in our case, oh, I realize somebody punched in the wrong IP address. What an idiot. Submit, and finally, generate Nagios config, and we're going to deploy that. It's instantaneous. It's going to take effect, but it is going to check, as we know, every 1 minute, so that problem is not going to disappear instantly, but it will disappear very, very quickly, and then we will start to receive notifications and things like that. Now, I noticed that this has already said, the TV has already said everything's good. So has Adagios caught up to the TV? No. Adagios still says there's a problem. So there's like a slight, 30-second delay or whatever it might be between different applications. Everything's communicating with the same backend, which is the Nagios core on your NEMS Linux server, and then they're going to all update together. So I should be receiving notifications. I just felt my phone vibrate. Here it is. So here's pushover, and you see a new one up at the top, host recovery. We've got hypervisor is up. And there it is. We've got no packet loss. Everything looks good. I should also receive an email. There it is. Recovery. Hypervisor is up. So that is the power of a NEMS Linux server. It's available absolutely free at nemslinux.com. I'm out of time. I would love to show you everything. Adagios now says that everything is good. And that is NEMS Linux. Big thumbs up from the developer. I'm biased, but it is so sleek. So go check it out, nemslinux.com. I'm out of time to show it to you, but there's great documentation. There's a fantastic community forum. If you want to become a patron to support the project, you can interact directly with me about the project, and it's a great way to get involved as well.